Dark in the long winters?
That and 10,000 crimes more. Here we stand in one of the most beautiful places in the world. I visited it long before it became a national park in 1919, when I was a mere sprat. I was honored to meet the immortal Ralph Waldo Emerson. He once said that nature is a mutable cloud which is always and never the same. He could have been thinking of Acadia.
It still looks beautiful. I don't really understand you, Doc.
When the politics of the old pre-nuking world began to deteriorate at the very end of the 20th century, the United States was one of the countries to realize that Götterdämmerung could be just around the corner.
What the fuck's that?
I'm delighted at your fascination at my pronouncements, my dear fellow, but I confess to finding that your phrasing is becoming both tedious and repetitive.
How's that?
Götterdämmerung, the twilight of the gods. The end of the world, perhaps, trader, would be more easily understood by you. Shorter words, eh?
Be real careful how you go, Doc. Nobody loves a smart-ass windbag, and I love him less than most folks.
Of course, point taken. I shall finish swiftly. The government, in its dubious wisdom, decided on its policy, under the totality concept, to build a number of these ultra-secret hideouts, these redoubts. And they chose the most beautiful and isolated parts of the country to site them. The running mongrels picked some of our finest national parks.
Like this?
Indeed. Acadia, jewel of the Northeast, set in the Silver Sea.
Still looks good, though.
That is not the point, madam, as well you know. Something perfect has been marred forever.
Nature finds its own way of getting back, doesn't it, Doc?
Well, I suppose you could say yes, my dear trader. I believe it has those powers of healing and regeneration. Shrewdly observed, my dear fellow. Very shrewdly observed.
Thanks.
We talked enough, Dad. We should get moving down the mountain.
So wise, so young, they say, do never... I disremember the rest of the quote. But the lad is right, is he not, Master Gordor?
Yeah, he is. Let's go see what New England's looking like today.
As they wound their way down the hillside, it seemed like New England was looking particularly good. The upper granite slopes of what they believed was Mount Cadillac were fairly bare of vegetation, with patches of scrubby heather and lichen here and there. But the lower they descended, the richer the land became.
Look at the forest. This must be what the land looked like before the white man came storming in with his alcohol and his smallpox and loggers and strip miners. This is one of the rare moments I'm glad to be in Deathlands rather than back in my old life. At least I can taste fresh air and smell the woods.
Whoa, what's that?
He pointed to a large blue-tinted bird with an enormous wingspan that had risen from a glacial lake behind a bluff. It flapped its serene way toward a larger body of water to the north.
Blue heron. Used to be rare. Christina had pre-doc book on birds. Saw it there.
Now they were closing in to the timberline. Doc paused and was staring back at the top of the mountain, shading his eyes with his hand.
It is impossible to make out the entrance to the redoubt, even from here. Such cunning concealment.
I reckon I once read that this place, this Cadillac Mountain, was about the first place in the whole of the pre-dark states to see the rising sun. Guess it could well be true.
Everyone's so full of fucking useless facts, Blue Heron. It's just a big bird. And if we'd been close enough, it would make good eating. And who gives a splash of flying batshit what place sees the sun first? You see it when you see it.
Duck pointed a bony forefinger at Trader.
Listen to me, if you will.
What is it now? More words, Doc?
During the time that I have ridden, unbidden, hidden in the midden... Damnation! That I have ridden with Ryan and the estimable John Barrymore, your name has come up in conversation on countless occasions. Nearly always in circumstances that reflect favorably on you.
So I'd fucking hope.
Wait before you allow smugness to advance too far. I was more than happy to meet with someone who had played such a vital part in the lives of two of my best friends. We have now only spent a few hours in each other's company, and I am disappointed in you, traitor.
Is that so? Well, my heart is weeping, Doc.
Save your sarcasm, sir. You are an arrogant and bitter man who appears to have lost sight of humanity and humor. I do not know whether that condition is irredeemable. I hope not. But I hold out little faith in your changing, and for that I am deeply sorry.
Doc stormed off. Trader looked around, finding that most of the group wouldn't meet his eyes. He settled on Ryan.
You got anything to say about that?
Some. Doc may seem like he's sometimes missing a few cards from the deck, but he's one of the wisest, truest men I ever met. I'm proud to call him my friend. I'm not saying he's all the way right, but there's a lot of truth in it. All I say, traitor, is to give it some thought.
Oh, yeah. I'll do that all right.
Traitor stalked off after Doc, his shoulders hunched, the Armalite trailing in his right hand. Ryan glanced at JB, who simply shrugged.
Hemlock, spruce, there's a half dozen different types of pine, and three or four different kinds of fir.
Mildred ticked them off on her fingers as the blacktop entered the massive strands of timber on both sides.
Never seen so many squirrels!
Dean drew his huge Browning high power and aimed it at a group of the tree rats that were gambling around the base of a lightning-scarred spruce.
Get us some dinner!
Squeeze the trigger on that and you'd be picking up bits of fluff and gristle and a few splinters of bone. And bringing everyone running for miles around.
Yeah. Wish I hadn't left that .22 back at the ranch.
The Remington 580? Nice little rifle. It would have been fine for those squirrels, Dean. Not an awful lot of use against bears or stickies. It'd just get them riled up. The Browning's a real stopper.
We should think about getting us some meat and finding a camp for the night.
Along the side of that big lake could be good.
Abe pointed below them, where the water glittered, blue-gray in the sunlight.
Be plenty of dry wood, broken branches. Get smokeless fire going. Saw deer tracks out of the road back a ways. Must be plenty of game.
The smoke from the fire was almost colorless, rising in a narrow pillar between the trees, dissipated by the light westerly breeze that was blowing off the land toward the nearby ocean. The haunch of venison was cooking nicely, brown and golden on the outside. The rest of the slaughtered animal was piled at the water's edge, where Dean and Abe were busily finishing the bloody process of butchery. Christy and Ryan tended the fire and the venison, respectively.
Fine shooting.
With that SSG-70 Steyr? Starlight night scope and the laser image enhancer, all to shoot a baby deer from 20 yards from deep cover. You could have thrown the blaster at it and chilled it that way. Saved a bullet. You think anyone heard the shot?
It's a big round, but the trees would have muffled it. I shot it over an hour ago. If we were getting guests, I figured they'd have arrived by now.
This is really one of the loveliest campsites we've ever found. Good fire, too.
I don't recall ever being this close to the sea in Old Main before. This is one of Trader's stomping grounds, New England. Met Marsh Folsom and the Magus around these parts.
Trader had gone off for a walk along the side of the lake with JB and Mildred. They had just emerged out of the dense forest onto a narrow promontory, a couple of hundred yards away to the left.
Where's Doc?
Dozing over there at the bottom of the tall pine. Seems to have gotten over the disappearance of the woman real well. I was worried about that.
Me too. I'm sure that they had a brief but active couple days of sex. But she wasn't right for Doc. I reckon he knew that.
Do him good.
How about what he was saying about Trader? Seems like Doc can't stand him.
What do you think, lover? Do you like him or not?
Too early to say. Ask me again in a few days.
Later, they all ate ravenously from the dead deer. Trader in particular stuffed himself with roasted meat until he could hardly stand.
That's not good for your health. Starvation and then gluttony are a classic prescription for gut trouble.
Well, Trader had some real bad kind of rat cancer in his belly, huh? Didn't you, Trader?
Abe grinned at his old chief until he saw from the expression on Trader's face that he wasn't particularly amused by the discussion.
Yeah, but that was a long time ago.
You still get problems?
I know you're a doctor and all that, but what goes